Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, how have Muslims contributed to the interfaith dialogue?
In a time where religious extremism is on the rise, many Muslim organizations have argued for greater efforts in the cause of interfaith. Mosques and Muslim organizations have undertaken interfaith initiatives in the attempt to foster a greater understanding of Islam. Events such as conferences and the Interfaith Theatre have showcased the organizational abilities of the Muslim community and have provided important opportunities for different religious groups to meet. The regular frequency of events is seen as an indication of greater willingness for positive engagement amongst faith communities. This week on Islam and Life, we ask, how have Muslims contributed to the interfaith dialogue?
It's important to ask these questions because when we look at the history or the contemporary history, very often when we speak about interfaith dialogue, it's very often coming from Christian organizations, coming from the other, and the Muslims are or were perceived as very passive. If now we look at what is happening in our institutions, in some organizations, in universities, we can see that Muslim women and men are much more involved in the process and they are more proactive. And this is something which is important, not only when it comes to better mutual knowledge, because this is the starting point. If we find it in the Quran that we have made you tribes and nations in order for you to know each other, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. This is one dimension, but it's also a better sense of living together, sharing values, and also understanding that we may have and we have the same hopes and the same ethical concerns when it comes to education, when it comes to social justice, when it comes to so many issues, from medical sciences to politics, for example, when it comes to ethics. So these are important endeavors, and the Muslims have been much more involved in this. And we have to ask ourselves which type of contribution the Muslims have done in this field of interfaith dialogues. And to answer these questions, I'm joined by my guest, Sheikh Ibrahim Mogra, Assistant Secretary General of the Muslim Council of Britain. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
I'm very happy to have you with us because you have a long history of somebody who is working at the grassroots level, serving the community, but not only the Muslim community. You are serving the community through a way of being proactive with other institutions, Christians and Jews and other spiritualities by being involved in this. So if we look at the last, let's say, 30 years, once again, as I said in my introduction, very often we look at Muslims as being passive, responding to calls. Are things changing? And if yes, how do you assess what happened over the last 30 years?
Things are indeed changing, and that's a very good sign. I think it's a sign of the maturity of the Muslim community. It's a sign of the growing confidence of Muslims to be in an area which sometimes is very controversial, even within Muslim circles. I have been challenged, for example, even at a simple exercise like welcoming non-Muslims into the mosque, to come and see the prayer, to come and see the mosque, how we wash, how we pray, simple things just to enhance better understanding, to remove the fear of the unknown or what happens in the mosque. And it's not rare for an elderly Muslim gentleman come to me and say, so Sheikh Ibrahim, when are you going to make the Muslims? So there is that challenge of how we educate our community to say it's not only about wishing people to become Muslims. There's a stage where, first of all, you help them see the beauty of Islam and demonstrate that. So I think over time, we are growing in confidence. We are able to venture out because there is this fear on the part of some of our communities that if we engage with Christians, for example, they might convert us or our faith will be diluted and our iman will be at stake and we will have to compromise and maybe agree with what they believe. And it's up to us really as ulama and as teachers of Muslims to help our communities understand that interfaith is not about agreeing with the beliefs of others. Mm. It's not about giving up your core beliefs just so that you can be friends with others. Nor is it really about wanting to convert others through that engagement. There are different ways of giving dawah and all that. So I think there is a long way to go yet. But over the last 30 years, I myself am very new to interfaith activities. But I can see now that we have positioned ourselves in such a way that we can now put an agenda on the table. Mm. In the past, really, it was Christian driven. And I'm glad that at least the Christians drove interfaith initially. And now they're also realizing themselves that really we cannot be the drivers of this. We need to be partners with the other religions.
That's a very important point. I will come to the agenda as you see it and what are the goals, the purposes of, because we still have, as you were saying, to educate the Muslim communities and ordinary Muslims have some questions. But you put something which is a very important point at the beginning. Very often Muslims were resisting the idea of interfaith dialogue because they were saying, as you said, in fact, they are trying to convert us. On the other side, you also have Muslims who are involved in interfaith dialogue with the only goal is to convert the people. Interfaith dialogue is not about converting. And by the way, it's not in our hands. This is between Indeed. Allah, God, and the people. Absolutely. We are just presenting the message and coming to a better mutual understanding. So have you seen before what you are saying now, something which is a deep change in this understanding? Because I'm still facing some of the Muslims saying, no, you know, interfaith dialogue is not necessary, or what we want is for them to understand. And as you were saying, some are expecting the people to become Muslims. Is this changing? Do we have a new mindset coming from within the Muslim community?
It is changing. And I think those of our communities that are off the soil, if I can call them that, people who Muslims who are born in this country and have grown up with this multi-faith environment that we now find within our countries, are ready for this idea of living together harmoniously, and sharing ideas with each other, sharing our beliefs with each other, and understanding each other better. I think we now have reached a stage where Muslim young boys and girls, even in schools, are confident to talk about their faith with people of a different religion or with a teacher who is of a different religion. And I think the schools on the whole do a very good job in encouraging Muslim pupils, for instance, to be able to be proud of their religion and talk about their religion. So things are getting better and better. They used to be quite dire in the past. And I think rather than religion now dying a slow death in the public sphere, I think religion is being revived. And largely, I would like to claim that it is as a result of the Muslims' readiness to wear their religion on the sleeve, to not hesitate to practice and to profess their religion. So these are developing trends, I think, which will get better and better. But we need, I think, to boost the confidence of Muslims. That don't be afraid. If you are unsure about some things, talk to the ulama, talk to the experts in this field. We have some pioneers of interfaith work who are still living, alhamdulillah, with us, who can guide us and who can teach us. Things have moved dramatically. In fact, we have reached, there are people who are at different stages, of course, within interfaith work. And some of them have reached a stage of sharing each other's scriptures, what we call scriptural reasoning, where you would sit with Muslim scripture, with Christian scripture, with Jewish scripture, and people then try to learn about each other's scriptures. Now, this is a very deep level of trying to study each other's religions. And clearly, this is not the place where we try to say, you must become Muslim or you must become Christian. And then at grassroots level, really, I'm excited by what is happening at grassroots level. Because Muslim young men and women have really, really gone a long way in crossing these bridges. Joining, for example, we have Mitzvah Day, which is a Jewish time of helping the poor and the needy. And Muslims have joined with them along with other religious communities. But rather than just do only that, we now have Muslim groups who are initiating food banks and feeding of the homeless and things like that.
So exactly in the spirit of what we were saying, indeed, is that they are taking the lead now.
Yes.
You said something once again which is critical here, is that what we can get out of this contribution towards interfaith dialogue is, paradoxically, is to talk to the other just shows how much you are confident with your own values.
Indeed.
And it's very much about this self-confidence, is trusting your values. And this is where what you are saying is that the more the Muslims are confident, the more they are interacting with the surrounding society. Having said that now, you were mentioning two levels. There is the scholarly level, where we are dealing with other scholars or priests or rabbis or people of other spiritualities. On the other side, you are talking about the grassroots level. So are we or are the Muslim organizations also involved